Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing, the podcast brought to you by Peter Higgins at Conkers 3 and Pete Wheeler Dealer at Wheeler Dealer on Twitter. How are we doing, folks? Welcome back. We've been away for a little while. Last one we gave you was back in November. So it's been a little while. We've been busy with lots of other things and other projects, but we're back.
Yeah, we've had a lot of distractions, haven't we? I mean, it's quite funny because we were going to try and record one last week. And we had it all planned and it was all sussed. And then I realised that on the Friday after the election, because it was going to be a very late night on the Thursday night, I probably wouldn't have been up to it. And as it turned out, that was absolutely right.
Well, Pete, that's what happens when you stay up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning listening to every single result when we knew the result at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just addictive. You just sit there watching it. You're like, oh my, and there were so many amazing things happening. It was just like, what? I mean, in political terms, it was just like crazy. Like, the things that you just can't believe happened, like seats that have been Labour since 1935 go into the Tories. I mean, it was just absolutely, miners voting for the Tories. It was just bonkers.
It was completely bonkers, mate. I've had conversations with people who are saying, it's been 100 odd years since that seat was taken by the Conservatives. You know, the miners are going to be having a Tory MP, you know, speaking to them about blah, blah, blah. But essentially, Pete, they voted for a significant change. The voters that have voted for a significant change. And now the Conservative Party are going to have to deliver. Otherwise, a bit like Brexit taking too long, people are going to get really, really miffed. If the changes and the support and the monies doesn't go where they want it to go, because there are a lot of people unemployed out there, and people don't realise that there's still a significant amount of employment. There's a lot of drug addiction out there. There's a lot of homelessness out there. There's a lot of poverty out there. And until that's changed, until austerity doesn't impact the people that are most needed to be supported, then there's going to be another head shift and a lot of people dismayed 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. And who knows what's going to happen next time we get a chance to vote for something?
Yeah, I think there's been a sort of feeling in a lot of these sort of regional places. And it's obviously, you know, particularly, whereas it's sort of up in the, is it north, hang on, northeast, I suppose, isn't it? Where there's a lot of places that have sort of historically and traditionally and for various sort of almost psychological reasons, they voted for Labour. But actually, it's done them no good because all they're doing is voting for an MP who never really gets into power. So nothing really changes. And obviously, if they have an MP who's from the actual government, there's much more incentive to actually do something about helping those people. It's almost as if you get a Conservative government in and they deliberately don't help the places that have got Labour MPs, and vice versa. When Labour are in, they don't help the places that are Tory. And it's sort of the way it goes, really. So I think, you know, I think that it should, in theory, mean that these places get a little bit more focus. But whether that happens or not, I mean, you know, who knows? But I think expectations are really low in these places. You know, they do feel they've been pretty hard done by for a long, long time. You know, not getting much infrastructure investment and stuff like that, and just getting any kind of attention and having a feeling that they're being loved for a change might actually mean that, you know, the Conservatives could easily get another 5 years on top of the 5 years they're going to have now.
I'm going to have to agree with you there, Pete. Sadly, I think with regards to the actual implosion, and you can only, I mean, it's a football term, mate. You can only beat the team that's put out in front of you. And, you know, the Labour Party got smashed to pieces. And the disarray that's in that party right now, and whomever they're going to choose for leader, it's just going to end up with two parties. You know, the Labour Party is going to be two, maybe three different parties by the end of this chaos.
And yeah, well, it's back to the 80s, isn't it?
They've left it wide open for the Conservative Party to be there for as long as they want to be there. You know what I mean? The only thing that could change that is that if they implode themselves, because Boris will not have any reason to tell anybody. He's going to be left unchallenged, essentially.
Yeah, totally.
I had one friend laughing and joking to me, saying, "Well, there goes. We're never going to find out how many children he's got. You know, forget about the other truths and lies." But that's the reality of it. He's going to go unchallenged. There's hardly anybody else in that there to actually question and challenge him, because the Labour Party have been wiped out. Pete.
Yeah, and when you look at who the opposition really is, to a large extent, the opposition's the SNP.
Yeah.
And all they're interested in is this Scottish independence issue, and they just keep banging on about that until we're all absolutely fed up to the back teeth with it. But you can't, I mean, it's hard to see the Labour Party really be in any kind of opposition. And
Not for a
that
while,
ain't going to
yeah.
change because, they're, I mean, for as long as they're membership base is very much to the far left side of the spectrum. It's pretty obvious they're not going to elect a leader in the Tony Blair, David Miliband kind of mold who might have a chance of being elected. Yeah, there's just no way a far left person's ever going to get elected in this
Yeah.
country. It's been proven time and time again.
True. I've been having conversations for maybe a year now with various people about the Labour Party. And I've said for a long time that the only way they're going to potentially win and could actually win quite healthily would be to have a different leader leading them into whatever next and to not have Corbyn leading it. But, I've tried to keep my views and thoughts on politics away from Twitter because it's become a bit like the EU ref vote, Brexit vote. It is so divisive, Pete. And
Oh, it's awful.
the problem we've got is that we've taken on the American sort of viewpoint on politics. It's become very divisive.
It's so polarized, isn't
It's
it? It's yeah, you're either one
polarizing.
or the other, and if you're
Yeah.
not, you're a Nazi. It's
Absolutely. So there's people calling
crazy.
out on Twitter. There's people calling all people all kinds of different things on Twitter. There's people muting accounts, muting words, and all the rest of it. Was that an end to it now that we've had the elections and the Conservative Party got a landslide? Probably not. There's going to be people that aren't going to be speaking to other people now because of how they voted. So I just try to stay out of it as best as I possibly could. I'm saying
Yeah,
what
I
we
mean,
should.
I hope all that kind of, people saying, "Oh, I won't talk to you because you're on this side of the argument," whatever. I just hope a lot of that goes away. And I think to an extent, I think the more balanced and sensible minds will prevail, and things will calm down a lot now. I think it'll only be people at the extremes who are still going to be having these crazy fights on Twitter. And the thing is, all they're doing is talking to an echo chamber, because if they're on the far left side, they're talking, and no one's really listening to them. If they're on the far right, they're talking, and no one's really listening to them either. It's an absolutely pointless exercise, really. I mean, I myself talk a lot about politics on Twitter, and I know I go over the line sometimes, but by and large, I try to keep it so that it's relevant to stocks and markets and what's going to happen. So, for instance, I sent out some tweets today saying that, we're pretty much going to have a conservative government for the time being, and quite easily through the 2020s we could have a conservative government. But the big positive is it brings political stability because of the massive majority. So we sort of know where we are. We may not like it, but we know where we are. And I think that's a big difference to the awful situation we've had for the last 3 years with a hung parliament, which has been an absolute disaster.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, the breaking news as we're sitting here on this call, Pete, it's now 20 past three on the 20th of December,
Yeah.
and the MPs have voted for Boris's Brexit bill to leave the EU on the 31st, and that vote went 358 versus 234. So that's a pretty unanimous sort of vote for us to leave on the 31st of January, and that's going to go ahead. The thing that I've said to everybody, though, is that voting to leave the EU and actually getting this bill through is very different to actually leaving the EU and the negotiations and the trade deals and all the blah, blah, blah that we're going to have to do. It's going to run for several years, mate. So people are still going to get frustrated with whatever the outcomes are of this and the repercussions of this.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think what I would say is that I think what we're going to find is that it's only really going to be political wonks and stuff who talk about this kind of stuff. I think when you look at the main 9 o'clock news, you're not going to see the first item on the headline being government gets defeated over
Yeah,
whatever.
of course.
We just because the political drama is now going to drop away. You're not going to have the speaker involved. No one's going to know who Lindsay Hoyle is in a few years' time. And I think things will just completely quiet down on the political side when it comes to the 6 o'clock news and whatever. Newsnight will cover some political issues, and Channel 4 News will cover it towards the end of their program. But in the main, these things just aren't going to be a topic like they have been for the last 3 years. I mean, if for the last 3 years, UK politics has been a must-see television all over the world, that's going to change.
And that's the difficulty I had with it all, Pete. Politics is meant to be something that's not necessarily secondary, but it isn't meant to be something that we're eating and drinking and breathing every single day. That's meant to be something for them to get on with. We put them in charge and elected them to actually get stuff done. And none of them did and have done for not just 3 years, but for decades now. So that's the bit of it that was frustrating everybody from every single side of the political spectrum. So hopefully now they get on with stuff, people are happy and appeased, and there's not as much
I
authority.
mean, that's a good point. I mean, I think, I don't, I think there's a lot of people who won't be happy, and that's, it's an unfortunate reality of a sort of binary decision. There are going to be one side that's not going to be happy. But I think the reality is that you'll find that the more, again, the more sort of relaxed kind of people within that group are going to realize that it's psychologically bad for their own health if they don't go along with the result. And I think, people will reluctantly, grudgingly accept that this is the new reality, and they'll just get on with their lives, and stop blooming worrying about these stupid things. It's funny because I've always felt that that proportional representation was a good idea. I've always thought that all my life. I've always thought, oh yeah, we should have PR and it'd be a much better thing. Having seen the last 3 years, I now think PR and hung parliaments would be an extremely bad idea, and we're far better off with a decent majority and a government that can get on with its manifesto.
Yeah, and you could be very, very, very on point there, Pete. I think it's quite interesting that today we've had even Farage changing suits and changing tacks, which invariably he's done on numerous occasions in the
What's
past.
he on
But
about now then? What's his latest one?
well, the great thing is, and he's always one for sound bites, is we had him on the 10th of December prior to the vote saying Boris's deal is not Brexit. It will be agony. Don't vote for it. And then today he's saying Brexit is happening, an historical moment. You know what I mean? Sorry. So there you go. So even he's like, I'm on script now. So there you go. You know what I mean?
They all seem to have fallen into line, don't they?
Absolutely. I'm not sure if we'll get made a peer or made a sir or something like that at some point or other.
Oh mate, what is going on with the House of Lords? I just can't believe it. The first one we've had is Joe, Joe the Squirrel Swinson,
Squirrel.
the squirrel being made a lord, after she loses leadership of the party, loses her seat, and then she's put in the House of Lords. Like, what's that all about? Then you hear Zach Goldsmith, who got beaten in his seat, and he was beaten for London Mayor, and he's basically been beaten everywhere. He's just been made a Lord as well and carries on as Environment Minister. You think, what the hell is going on?
Pete, at this moment in time, on this part of the podcast, I'm going to take the fifth and excuse myself from saying exactly what I think on those things that you've just said.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Let's move on to the next bit. What do you want to say next?
Well, but what we should do is talk about the relevance of all this for the markets. And my own view on things is that now we have a much more settled government, and Brexit is going to go through in a much quieter way than it did before. I think that's a very good background for stocks. Or put it this way, when you think where we are, towards the end of December 2019, if you compare it to towards the end of December 2018, when we were looking at Brexit down the track and no deal Brexits and all sorts of various scary scenarios and complete chaos, things just look infinitely better than they did then in terms of the stock market and the background for equities.
Agreed, and we've seen some of that, Pete. I mean, everyone apart from the gamblers, were betting on a majority win for the Tories. It was only the FTSE that was getting a little bit concerned, really, about the vote. And pre the vote, mid-November, obviously we were away, the markets had gotten as high as 7,430 at one point, yeah?
Yeah.
And
Well, they were
then
in that range, weren't they? They were.
we were in that range and
Yeah.
we're looking to break it, and people were getting quite positive about, yeah, you know what I mean, this is what's going to happen. And then they started to get a bit more cautious. And then, you know, we went all the way down, Pete, right? The week before, on the 5th of December, we were
Yeah.
down there at the lows, 7,030. Yeah?
Yeah, nearly at 7,000.
7,030.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
you'd lost 300 points, mate, of people getting worried about how's this vote going to go and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And and then you've got a situation where everyone's getting worried, everyone's getting worried, and we edge up a little bit to 7,200, but then no one knows which way it's going to go. And now we're sitting up here at 7,580, and people are talking about whether or not we're going to see an 8,000 FTSE 100 in 2020. And everyone's getting very, very positive about it. But then Boris has now said, actually, the things that I've said, some of the things I've said already, I'm not going to do. So
Yeah.
we had a little bit of a wobble midweek when people thought, well, that's it, we're on now, game on for the Santa rally. I'm not sure where we're going to sit for the year end, December the 31st, but we could and should do at least a minimum of 7,600 before we finish, unless we get some unexpected news.
Yeah, I mean, and let's be honest, mate, we're not going to get unexpected news on the 20th of December. I mean, we're so near the year end, unless it's like, an asteroid smashes into Paris or something. Oh, well, that doesn't happen, obviously. Unless something like that happens, I just can't see, there's not going to be any kind of event that's going to derail things now.
No, I don't see there being. I just hope that there isn't anything, you know, because
Yeah.
this is the problem we've got. You know, we have white and grey swan events, mate. You know, things happen which we don't
Yeah, we
expect.
do. We do.
And
But
all year, Pete, we've had these events going on regarding individual stocks. The number of profit warnings that we've had so far this year has been a record number, mate. And that includes FTSE 100 all the way to the POS stocks we talk about at the bottom of the barrel
oh,
on AIM. It's happened to
earlier
FTSE
this
80
week,
stocks as well. You
there
know
was
what I mean?
one day earlier this week where it seemed like there was about eight or nine warnings. It seemed like every RNS I was reading was a warning. And to be honest, I couldn't believe my own luck that I didn't hold any of
Yeah,
them.
and you know, that's been part and parcel of why some people have outperformed, including myself. I think we've been very, very fortunate. There's one individual I know who's a very, very, very good investor who, up until this week, he had another one this week actually. He's had 15 profit
Oh,
warnings.
my.
15, Pete. Yeah.
Wow.
And at the last count, having conversed with him and spoken to him via DMs, I think he's still up 20 odd percent because he's a really, really good investor. I'm just wondering
Yeah.
what would his year
What
to
could
date
he?
be if he hadn't had those profit warnings? It'd be staggering.
Yeah. I mean, I had that myself last year. I mean, I didn't have anything like 15, but I just seemed to have so many warnings last year. It was a horrible year for me psychologically. It was just a horrible year. And this year for me has been so much nicer. I might have had one or two, but nothing to worry about. And if anything, it's been the other way, with takeovers and stuff that have been pretty good for me. And certainly the last, couple of weeks or whatever have been absolutely beautiful for me. So it's weird. It has been a funny year. There's no doubt about
It
it.
has been a funny year. I mean, the FTSE has done exceptionally well, and the All Share has done exceptionally well, despite all the noise, despite all the macro issues, despite
Yeah.
all the profit warnings. A fair amount of people on Twitter are saying they're up 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%, and so on and so on and so
Oh,
forth.
there's some fantastic. There's some
They're
fantastic performances. They really are.
exceptionally well. So, you know, is it an outlier? Are we going to see a little bit of quiet going forward regarding certain stocks? I don't know, but you know, you and I are the ones, you know, including this other person. I think I will give him a shout out actually. At BattleBus141 on
I
Twitter.
thought you were talking
Yeah,
about Battlebus. Yeah, he's brilliant. Such a good guy.
he's a fantastic individual in the sense of he always tells it like it is, Pete. There's me, there's you, there's Diana Patterson, and a few others. Others go into hiding. Yeah, they'll lampoon every other stock that's out there that has a profit warning. Yeah, and when it comes to theirs having a profit warning, having a shocker, they'll disappear and they're quiet. Yeah, BattleBus always comes out and says, "Oh my gosh, another one, another one. Why
Yeah,
me?" You
yeah.
know what I mean? But he's always admits when they go wrong. Yeah, and we need more of that on Twitter. We need more people being transparent and honest about what's going on, and not just putting a red pen to everybody else's stock and not doing a red pen to their own stocks. If it's poor, say it's poor. If the management have not been completely honest with the truth, say they haven't been honest with the truth. You know what I mean? Because it
Well,
happens to
that's so
everybody's
true. I
stock.
mean, I think it's important to try and be objective on stocks. And
Objective, exactly.
I take a lot of grief from people because I'll criticize some junky AIM stock or whatever. But I try where possible. When there's one of these junky AIM stocks does something good, I'll send out a tweet saying they have done something good, and I try to be fairly objective about it. I'm not gonna. If they have got good news, I'm not going to put out saying they got good news, but it's still bad. I put it out and say, well, yeah, fair play. This is good news. So yeah, you got to be balanced about it, isn't it? There's just no point of sort of getting all emotional about a stock.
I think this is it. I think some people are too wedded to their idea and need to be right. And invariably, regardless of how much research you and I or anybody else does, at some point or other, maybe it's nothing to do with the management of the actual company. Maybe it's to do with the actual markets that they're in have
Oh,
slowed down.
there's so many factors that play into a stock, And the thing is, you could have the best stock in the world, and it could have every single aspect about the business could be brilliant. But if that stock's going down and in a downtrend, you're still going to lose money. So the technicals have to line up as well,
Absolutely, and this is the other thing as well is that we're a believer in fundamentals, but we're not a believer in technical analysis. And I'm a believer that you need fundamentals and technical analysis and to master your own psychology. Some
And
people
I'm totally with you. I
are
couldn't,
just relying on the fundamentals and the fact they went to a couple of AGMs and the fact they were on the phone to the CEO, CFO, or the the managing director. You need to be lucky. You know what I mean? You need to have a fair bit of luck as well.
I must say that absolutely mystifies me when I find people who say, oh, I just do fundamentals. I just find that absolutely bizarre. It's like, hang on, there's this whole discipline of technical analysis that you're completely ignoring, and it can help you and enhance what you know from the fundamentals. And the same with the psychology. If you can layer the psychology on as well, not just your own psychology, but the psychology of the market and of other participants, that's a help as well. So why would you turn off these avenues? That mystifies me, or it really does.
I think part of it, Pete, is the fact that we get good at doing what we do. So if we get good at doing fundamentals, we think we've mastered fundamentals. We
I
don't
suppose that's it. I suppose
we
if you're
don't
good.
we think, or certain people think, we don't need to learn anymore. Once you stop thinking you don't need to learn anymore, you're on a hiding to nothing, mate. You're going to get hit and hit and hit over
You're
and
going to get
over again.
stale, and
Because the
you're going to
market's
get
going to keep te
bored.
the market's going to keep teaching you lessons to say, actually, you don't know all you think you know. You know what I mean? You've been there and I've been there. What we then learn? We've learned to go carry on learning.
And that's so true. I mean, the market will teach you a lesson as soon as look at you. It's worse than a swan that will break your leg.
Absolutely.
The market will break everything.
Which is why I keep saying to people, every day is a school day for me. I've been putting out, Pete, my results, right? And whenever I get a year to date new record, I put it out. People have this misconception that's me sometimes showing off. The whole point of me putting out those year to date records is to say, this is hard toil, sweat and tears, and this is how I've got to where I've got with these stocks. Yeah. They've done well. But it's because I've been patient with it. It's because they've had profit warnings. But it's because that's happened, this happened. I'm still hanging in there with them. Yeah. And you can actually get rich slowly. Yeah. By investing in quality stocks and not following the noise or the rampers or the people that only talk about their results being great and then not talking about the profit warnings when they're crap.
That's exactly it, isn't it? It's that thing of finding quality companies, spending the time, putting the effort in, putting the research in, finding quality companies, and then buying them and sticking with them. And yes, they will go through tough times, but if they're quality, they will keep going and they will recover, and they do.
They do. I mean, you and I, we've talked about this on the podcast so many times now. Yeah. I've held AstraZeneca since 1994. Everyone's heard this on the podcast, right? I'm not sure what year you purchased it, but that's a FTSE blue chip company, Pete, right? That you and I both hold, and a few other people that we know hold, right? And certain size. That's the biggest and largest entity that my whole wealth is tied up in, right? That is up 31, 32% year to date as we speak. It's one of the largest companies in the FTSE 100.
Well, I was saying on a tweet earlier today, it actually touched an all-time high today, a new one.
A new one.
And if you go back to late January this year, I would say it's up nearly 50% from that low point, which is just remarkable for a big FTSE 100 mega cap monster. I mean, you know what? Yeah, I bet there's loads of small caps that have done nowhere near that kind of return.
Well, this is the problem. The problem we've got, Pete, and I think I had a problem with it when I first started out. I always used to think, in my formative, first 2 or 3 years, you know what? If I've got 100 quid or 250 quid or 500 quid to spend on a stock, if I'm buying a penny stock, I'm going to get more for my bang for my buck.
Oh,
You
yeah.
don't. You're still getting £500 worth of bang for your buck, whether you're buying £500 worth of AstraZeneca or you're buying £500 of POS stock.
And the big difference is you might be getting bang for your buck, but what you're really getting is massive risk. With
Yes.
AstraZeneca, your risk is pretty darn low. So you're
Agreed.
getting a lot of bang for your buck. And with very low risk.
Yeah.
I'm just aware of the time because we don't want this one going on too long. I just want to talk quickly about the Santa Rally, yeah?
Right, go on.
Because I know we're going to try and get this podcast out but before it's too late. Basically, I think there's a lot of misconceptions with the Santa Rally, is that everyone just seems to think the stocks go up around Christmas, but it's a little bit more nuanced. What it tends to be that the FTSE 100 tends to rise in the few days before Christmas and in the days between Christmas and New Year, and then for a couple of days into January. I think it usually starts about the 18th of December. That's the sort of the theory. And it's not really like a rally, as in everything charges up. It's more of a sort of gradual, slow, what they call a melt up, where it just slowly rises, sort of thing. I would love to play it, but because of the pound dollar and how the pound affects the FTSE 100, I actually decided last night to put more long position with a spread bet on the S&P 500. So I've doubled the position I already had on the S&P 500, because you do get it, that all the markets around the world tend to drift up, but it tends to be the FTSE 100 that goes really well, but it's obviously not guaranteed every year.
It's not guaranteed, and the beauty of it is that we're being carried and also have been carried for a significant amount of time, even though we've been lagging the S&P, and now that's running into what a 4 week winning streak as well. So
Yeah.
the longer that keeps going, and earnings keeps being positive for that, then the S&P and the American markets will carry the FTSE, and the FTSE has been lagging performance wise the American markets for a number of years now. So
There's a lot of catch
there's
up.
a lot of catch up to be had, and we had so many people that went all cash or 70 or 80% cash prior to December the 10th, 11th and 12th of the vote, that we had that big whoosh where on the 13th there were stocks going up 5, 7, 8, 9, 12%, Pete.
Oh, it was incredible.
Incredible amount of wave of money just being gone into the market for people with fear of missing out. I
I
still
think that,
loads more to come.
yeah, I mean, I think we can talk about this on the next podcast, but yeah, I got hurt by my sort of, inefficient hedging strategy. But luckily, once that whoosh happened, I'd actually positioned my portfolio quite well. I was nearly out of my hedges. So it meant that I actually did pretty well from that. So I'm quite pleased with how things have turned around for me at the end of this year. It's been quite pleasant. So that's just quickly mention the pound.
Yeah.
The pound dollar, I noticed today it had sort of shot up. I think it touched 135 at the high point. But it's dropped back and it's down to that sort of like 128 to 130 range, which is like a sort of zone of support. And I really, it needs to turn up off of that sort of 130 kind of level. If it drops below 128, then the pound's going lower again. So that's something we need to watch out for.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be, it's interesting in the sense of the strength of, going forward, and I think that's going to be very, very important as to how globally the new government and what the rhetoric then followed by actions are perceived by the global markets, and that's going to be very, very important because we've got such a significant weighting of companies that make a lot of their revenue overseas. So, with regards to what sterling is going to be doing over the next 6 months and 6 years, is going to be very, very important for the performance of the FTSE. I'm going to throw in one stock, Pete, which brought a little bit of controversy.
Chuck it in, chuck it in.
Was a new holding that I purchased, and I've been tracking it since about October when I saw some news coming out regarding a certain housing minister making an announcement, and the stock had been done quite well and then got punished and fell and fell and fell, and previously held it in 2018. And there was a conversation about housing and having a digital revolution for mortgages and conveyancing. And I saw this bit of news in October and I thought, that's interesting. Let me just keep an eye on that. And I started researching the stock and researching the stock. And the stock's called ULS Technology. And I purchased it at just shy of, just over, sorry, 46 pence.
So I remember
And
you were in those before.
I was in those before, back in 2018. And obviously, I'd done all my research back then. I did some more research this time round.
Yeah, so you knew the company
I
pretty
knew the
well
company.
anyway, yeah.
And I just, the going more and more into property technology and all the rest of it. Again, another AI related stock. And I put the stock out. And I only had it a fortnight, less than a fortnight, and I put it out a few days back on the 18th. And some people were taking umbrage at the fact that I'd delayed putting out the showing of the stock, because what I've been doing for some time now is putting out the stocks that I buy with a contract note for additional transparency. But also not putting the buy or the tweet out immediately, as what I've done historically in the past. I used to buy at 1 o'clock, put a tweet out at 1:05, and everybody would be able to see exactly what I'd done. But the reason why, and I'm explaining this on this podcast now, just so people understand, is because I don't believe that anyone should copy anybody's trade. I believe everyone should do their own research. So part of the reason why I now do not put out my tweets immediately or wait for them to move to a certain percentage or a certain period of time or whatever, is so that everybody goes away and do their own research. So my contract notes will always be shown when I purchase a stock, and my research will be done, whether that be 40 hours or 120 hours, and whether the shares go up or not, my contract notes and my presentation of the stocks will always be shown.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, I think you've nailed it, that no one should ever just blindly follow anyone. I mean, by all means, use other people for ideas, but you must go away and do your own research and make sure you are comfortable and make sure it fits in your portfolio. There's no point buying another miner if you've got loads of miners already and someone buys a miner and you think, oh, I must buy it because so and so bought it. All you're doing is just adding more risk to your portfolio. So, don't buy another miner when you've got 20 of the damn things already. Go and buy something different.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to continue to buy AI, machine learning, big data related stocks going forward.
Yeah, and you've got other things as well. That's the
Absolutely. And
reality.
ULS for me is going to be another one. The shares are currently up, I don't know, 50% plus in the space of 2 weeks. And
That's fantastic.
that's because of the Boris bounce. That's because people see the house builders going up and they're looking at if the house builders going up, are they going to be doing well next year? I don't know whether they'll do well next year. I've done my research. I could be wrong. They've had a good good 2 weeks. I don't know what they're going to do in 2020.
I think ULS have got pretty beaten up as well, hadn't it? It just, once they get in these downtrends, it's like the tractor beam off of Star Trek or something, off of Star Wars, isn't it? Where the ship gets stuck in the tractor beam and it can't get out, and it just keeps going down and down and down and down and down.
That's a great analogy, Pete, but not one I think I've used before or heard before.
I'll be bringing an Ewok in the next podcast, don't you worry.
An Ewok, brilliant,
But I
brilliant.
won't be doing any impersonations.
No, it's great, mate. Great, I love
Um,
it.
mate, we ought to end the call on that one, I think.
Yeah, what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to keep this one short and sweet, and we're going to do another one immediately afterwards and talk about a few stocks and a few performances of stocks in the next podcast, and a couple of ideas that we may have of our own, which we would ask you to go away and do your research on, that we think might do well in 2020. So we're going to call it there and
Yeah,
say
we'll see you
goodbye
soon.
and see you soon. Take care. God
Cheers,
bless,
bye.
and thank you again for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate your support and your retweets and your comments on it. So thank you ever so much
Big
for
time,
continuing to
thank you.
support us. Thank you. Goodbye for now.